This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Lady Lovin is brought to you by Lola, a modern approach to feminine care. I'm a big fan of Lola products. I own my own women's wellness company, so I really stay on top of what I'm putting in my body and on my body. And like I said, I'm a fan of Lola. I know the founders of the company. They are great girls. But let's get to the point of what Lola is if you are unclear. So they offer a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners. And they started their company with a simple and seemingly obvious idea, which is that women shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to feminine care products. And I absolutely agree with them. So their products are 100% natural and 100% easy to feel good about. They offer complete transparency about the ingredients in all of their products. There's no BS, no mystery fibers. They're 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. That is awesome, you guys. So you buy your Lola tampons online. You get to decide how many boxes you want. You get to decide your frequency. You can pick regular tampons or the Super Plus tampons. With pads, you can choose ultra thin day pads or night pads. Everything is totally customizable, and they'll email you 2 days before your boxes ship. So if you guys want 40% off of your first order, all you have to do is go to mylola.com and enter promo code LOVIN40. That's a little different than our normal promo code, guys. Again, for 40% off your first order, visit mylola.com and enter LOVIN40 when you subscribe.
Lady Lovin is brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. If you haven't heard of it, Beachbody On Demand is an online fitness streaming service that gives you unlimited access to a huge variety of highly effective world-class workouts, and everything is personalized to meet your needs, which is so cool. It also includes extensive nutritional content, all proven to help people achieve their health and fitness goals. And like, you guys know the workouts that are on here. It's P90X, it's Insanity, it's T25, it's 3-week yoga retreat, and actually one of my favorite yoga instructors of all time, Elise Joan, is on Beachbody On Demand, and so I use it to take her yoga classes. It's convenient, it has programs for any fitness level, it has that nutritional help, abs are made in the kitchen, you guys, and it is affordable also, so you need to give this service a try. Right now, our listeners can get a free trial membership when you text LADYLOVIN, LADYLOVIN, and no spaces, all one word, LADYLOVIN, you text that to 303030. Then you'll get full access to this entire platform for free, all the workouts and nutritional information for free. Just text LADYLOVIN, all one word, to 303030.
Hello, world.
Wow, that is a definite intro for someone that's moving from New York to LA.
Dude, I don't want to talk about it.
We're in New York right
now.
We're
in New York right now. The team is united. We are in New York. And honestly, you know, as always, I'm with Jillie Hendricks and Lo Bosworth. Hey. Hello, my beautiful women.
Hey. Remember, that's my intro now. What's yours, Jill?
Sup?
No, remember last week we were talking about
what your tagline is? I forgot.
Mine's hey.
I have to recreate a tagline because I forgot it. Yours might just be sup.
Yeah, there's a boy here.
There's a boy here.
A man.
There are two boys,
and both of them are hot. Nick, we're not going to say you're not hot because that
Nick, our producer, is here.
Nick is married, though, so do not slide into his DMs.
Nick is married and hot and has really
He's
nice hair.
He's very Vancouver 90s.
Whoa. Do you hear this voice?
Who's our guest?
You guys, I'm gonna. I had like my Russian accent down, and now I've just
lost
it.
You got it.
Okay, what do you need to get it back? A sip of LaCroix?
I don't know, but you guys, we have a really incredible, iconic guest.
Very
honestly,
iconic.
Yeah, you've transformed. You've crossed the threshold into iconhood. I think
you're already making me uncomfortable, and you haven't even asked a single question yet, and I'm already sweating through my t-shirt.
Sweat through
what?
It. It's white. I'm trying
it's
to 38 see
degrees
out.
I know.
You guys, the voice that you're hearing, my friend, you've seen him on Queer Eye,
and you've seen him on Instagram.
Fuck yeah,
seen
you
a
have.
Lot of me on Instagram
Anthony,
these days.
Will you say your last name?
No, you
I remember
say it.
Anthony Porofsky.
Yes.
Porofsky. Anthony Porofsky.
Porofsky.
You both said it very
you
well.
You kind of have Anthony the Porofsky. Alexander
Petrovsky.
Petrovsky.
That was the kind of the reference. That's why I said say yeah. it like a Russian would Petrovsky. Say it. A la Sex in
you
the
have,
City.
You're like, you have Sex like, in the City vibes.
You guys, people yes. butcher my last name all the time that I get, I choke when
how
I.
Would they, how would
I
they
still
butcher
don't know
it?
How to oh spell your last name. I what? Always mess up the E.
You don't know how to spell Titleman?
I always do T-I-T-L-E instead no. of E-L.
It's T-I-T-E-L-M-N.
And I never know
I
which
thought your
is
last
right.
name was Bird for the first 2 months because I always associate
Gertie
people's
Bird.
Names by
their
Instagram
names.
Accounts.
Oh, no, yeah. that's real. My friend Gianna, her Instagram account was G-Baby Santos. People thought her name was Gabby. So, like, everywhere she would go, people would be like, oh, Gabby. And she it got so bad, she changed her Instagram name to just say Gianna Santos.
Gababby.
Gababby.
Gababby Santos.
That's so funny.
Anthony, we are so happy to have you. Mm-hmm. We're all just I sitting know. Here sort of sipping.
Thank you so much for having me
sparkly
here in
beverages.
Brooklyn.
This has been weeks in the making. We're so excited.
I know. I'm so happy
you.
We could work it out. So, let's just take it from the top.
Let's dive
know?
In.
Let's dive in.
What would you like to know? What can I shed some light
Tell
on?
Tell us everything.
Lo, I think...
Where were you born?
I was born in Montreal.
Okay.
Actually, in a little town outside of Montreal called Vimont, Laval, which Vimont. Is very francophone.
How's it your was, French?
French is my second language. Mm. I learned French in school. I had a French-Canadian accent. Then I moved to West Virginia. I completely forgot Polish and French. My parents sent me back to Canada. I went to a French boarding school, and then my accent sort of morphed. So now I have this like butchered, bastardized version of a bit of French-Canadian and a bit of French. So it's a little all over the place.
And a bit of West Virginia.
And a bit of West Virginia, which comes out every now and then for a little twang.
Yeah. Every now and then when you find me in a real mood, I have my West Virginia accent on.
The y'all comes out.
Why not?
The long drawls.
You know, there's nothing like French mixed with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that are unfamiliar with Queer Eye, which you're probably not.
How could
it's
you
like
not
become
be familiar
the thing.
With
Did
Queer
you know
Eye.
That this was going to happen?
People are crying. People
I'm crying.
Episode.
I honestly thought it was going to be an homage show. Like kind of like Fuller House on Netflix where it was going to be like, oh, cute. They just like rebooted this thing. And it's like, okay, we're going to make people house. Feel happy about themselves.
Right.
But it's really taken on a whole other... It's a whole other beast. It's apples and oranges. I'm really excited about it and overwhelmed. And it's still new. Like it's just been out for a couple of months. And
yeah,
I know.
But Anthony, y'all are instant icons. Do you feel that yet?
It's just
because
you know
everyone
what,
out here that's not you guys thinks so.
Mm-hmm. But it's so bubble though, because it's like it's big in LA and it's big in New York, and I feel like it's very it online. It's having a lot of attention. But
girls from Ireland just hollered at you.
Ireland, should we say hi to them?
Yeah, let's say
girls
hi to them. Let's
say
hi
to them. Hello
I'm also
to
in denial.
Sarah and Claire.
I can't take it. You know what? I'm quoting Bitch Sesh right now, which is my boyfriend's favorite podcast after yours, and after Jonathan's as well, because he would get really angry if I didn't mention Getting Curious. But anyway, it's what was I saying?
You were talking about how it's overwhelming.
Being
yeah,
an icon.
And I just don't take it on. If I take on the how big it all is, it gives me like severe crippling
anxiety. Well, because it
like,
truly
anxiety.
Happened like overnight. We were at Ciccone's the night before the night before the it went live on Netflix, and we were like looking at your Instagram or something, and truly in like 20 hours. You got 500,000 followers.
Yeah.
You're like little
psycho.
Hank Williams.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
I don't understand the reference.
You know the yodeling Walmart boy?
Oh, yeah. He performed at Coachella, right?
Okay. Yes.
In a week and
I know
a half,
little bit of pop culture.
In a week and a half, he has over a million followers on Instagram. He performed on Ellen, and he performed at Coachella.
Jesus
yeah, but
Christ.
But I'm sorry. The yodeling boy is like the Cash Me Outside girl. This is like a 15-minute fame thing, and Anthony is here to stay.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not
agree.
Going anywhere.
He's the yodeling boy.
There was no actual comparison there. I was just saying that, you know, when something goes viral all of a sudden the next day, you see a huge like 500,000 followers
so
overnight. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
And especially with Netflix.
And now you're doing ads in your underwear.
That's right.
Yeah, that was horny.
That was our first little baby endorsement. The next one is going to be very food professional, which is nice. Kind of like the way I was about to pretend that I have any kind of creative control over my Instagram, which I don't. It's my boyfriend who does everything because he's an art director.
Yeah, but he's also amazing.
I love that. Like, that's what Kanye does for Kim.
Yeah, I can't do any of that.
So you need an art director.
Me food, sex food.
That's what it is. That's all people want.
Yeah.
It's very good though.
Sex sells, babe. You know, anyone that says sex doesn't sell is lying.
For me, it's all about balance. I don't want it to be too, you know, just me in my underwear and every single.
Do a shoot where you're like nude and we like cover you in food and then we come and feast off your
body. a little fig leaf on my junk.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm down.
Lay sushi down
like prosciutto all over your nipples.
Yeah, I would love
lay
that.
Lay sushi down like
no, they would
Cattrall.
Have to be like little pepperonis. Prosciutto would be too. It would. I have small nipples,
it
so we would need something
a little smaller,
or like a raspberry on the nipples.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can make it kind of like an abundance of fruit.
It could be like a cornucopia, if you will.
A cornucopia. That's a very good word.
We'll make Anthony the cornucopia.
All right.
So could you tell me what you were doing before Queer Eye and how that all got started and everything?
Yeah. My background is actually from like school standpoint, I graduated in psychology in Montreal, Concordia. That's where I thought I was headed. I've always known I wanted to be an actor, but I wanted to please my parents. We have a lot of doctors in the family and engineers. Everyone's very professional. And the artists have always sort of been hidden. We've had a couple of like sculptors and pianists, but we just don't really talk about them. And so I moved to New York to study at the Neighborhood Playhouse after I graduated, which is like this pretty revered, respected, sort of like super old school theater conservatory where we had Beverly Sugarman, who was our secretary. She was 92 and she would write me little notes when I was late because I was like super hungover and fucked up from the night before.
Amazing.
And be like, an unexpected sequence of events prevented Anthony from being punctual this morning. And she would write it in like cursive. She wrote on a typewriter our schedules.
That's so cute.
Beverly Sugarman. Beverly Sugarman. And
her assistant was Clotilde Luce.
Whoa.
And they were in their 90s.
I love that she had an assistant.
Yep.
Wait, she had an assistant that was the same age as her?
They were both in their 90s.
They're probably best friends or arch-nemesis.
No, both.
They're like, it was a love-hate.
Yeah.
Love-hate.
You know, the theater.
Yeah.
The theater. So I studied there, and then I worked at the same time working at restaurants from like Fatty Crab to Bond Street, where I was a busboy, a waiter. Crab. Fatty Crab is really good. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The chili crab.
It's really
that
good.
That sauce is so spicy buttered brioche, and
is
you would just dip
there?
It in. There's one on Hudson still.
Yeah.
And one last thing.
I've never been to the Fatty Crab.
Oh my God. And they have nasi lemak, which is another really amazing. It's a chicken thigh that's braised in coconut milk. And they have this like really nice coconutty jasmine rice. And you have like a slow poach, like a sous vide egg. And you just mix all the ingredients together. And there's like little dried crispy fish. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I worked at all these different restaurants. And then I met Ted Allen, who lives literally across the street from me. My buddy PJ.
Well, Ted Allen, pause. Ted Allen, for those of you that don't know who Ted Allen is, he was the original food guy on the original Queer Eye. And now he's host of Chopped.
The Food Network cash cow that is Chopped that has been renewed for 100 million seasons.
That, listeners, Cara Nicoletti, the butcher, won Chopped when she was on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's such a great show.
She won her Chopped.
Go, Cara.
It's my treadmill
show. She would win Chopped.
Yeah.
Because they're independent episodes. You don't have to follow a plot line.
Yeah.
So my buddy PJ, who also has a podcast called Reply All and Gimlet, who's one of my best friends, PJ and my boyfriend Joey have always pushed me to sort of take a direction towards food. And I was always sort of like reticent. It was something that was very sacred and personal and precious. And so I didn't want to like do it in a professional capacity. Mm-hmm. And PJ was like, look, you moved to Clinton Hill. Ted Allen is like a big Clinton Hiller. And he just published a book, go to Greenlight and meet him for his, you know, just get to know him. So Joey and I showed up at his book signing. We were like the only two people under the age of 60.
Amazing.
We like chatted it up. It was a little weird, but we became fast friends. And then I started working for him first and as an assistant and then did a bit of consulting when he was like working on Chopped with like food publications and stuff, cooking for him. They sort of threw me around all his, you know, the different endeavors that he and his husband Barry had, including like photography and like research in art and mid-century furniture. So that's sort of where I really got more into food in like a professional way. And then a friend of mine, actually, we share a manager.
Yes.
Gertie Bird and I.
Yes, we do.
Alex, a coworker of his at Untitled, mentioned that Queer Eye was being rebooted for Netflix. And I was like, holy shit. I'm like, it's food, which gave me like that, you know, that pre-diarrhea chill when you have food and you just get really uncomfortable.
Yeah. pre-diarrhea chill.
You know, it just because it starts to get cold and you're like, oh God.
And then your mouth starts to get like a little salivatory. But
then, and then you're warm. Yeah. And then you get really dry. It's like a mix
and
of
then
emotions.
You go and you like let it out.
It's weird physical sensations. I wasn't going to go to that part because I didn't exact, I didn't, it didn't go that far,
but
it was that
pre-feeling.
But
it was
that precursor.
Yeah, I hear that.
So the food part just sort of like scared the shit out of me. And then the part where I would actually talk about my personal life. And it's a show that deals with sexuality. It's like the name is literally the gayest show that's ever existed in the world.
But you're like kind of perfect for it. Studying psychology, right? And then like food.
You can get inside their brains.
I feel like this is the happy marriage of what your job is on that show.
I mean, I think psychology has definitely helped. The way it's helped my father as a doctor. Oh my God, I was about to compare my job to my father being a doctor. but like it does help with your bedside manner and sort of coming in with humility and not acting like you know everything and just like being curious and knowing when to shut up and when to ask a question and when to push and when to not.
Yeah.
So I think it all sort of, it weirdly does make sense now, but it's nothing that I planned.
Right.
It's nothing that I had expected. It wasn't part, like this is not what I had in mind for me, mm-hmm. you know?
Isn't it? It never is.
Right. It never really is. And it's the stuff that happens when things just sort of like work out. And I realized like, I didn't know food was that important. But now I have friends who are DMing me from like junior high and are like, no, when you were 12, we used to get shit-faced on Alizé when your parents were out of town traveling.
Alizé.
And well, it was the best. And I would like make like a freaking raspberry barbecue sauce and marinate chicken breasts and then like grill them.
When you I was
like
12?
When I was like 12 or 14 years old. And I was like, holy shit, I did used to host these dinner parties. And I always thought like, no, I was never that guy, but I always was. I always talked about food in a like a weirdly passionate, sexual, Nigella Lawson-esque way. Like that's mm-hmm. always
Nigella
been sort of part.
Is so horny.
She is.
About food.
She is the most beautiful in every single way. She's. I'm not going to say where, but she's staying at one of my castmates' hotel, and they've been in touch. And I was trying to like set up like a little tea meeting, and it didn't work out. And she's just. She's one of the most perfect, beautiful women who's ever existed.
It will work out. You guys will have your tea moment.
I hope so.
You definitely will.
Oh, she's so
did
special.
Did you know that Lo Bosworth is a cook, a chef?
I did, but are you? Is it me or are you more interested in baking?
Oh, no, I actually hate
You
to
hate
bake.
Baking.
I hate
Good.
To bake.
So we can get along because I don't know how to bake. It's like photography.
I love
it's too
baking.
Precise.
I know how well, but I hate
I
it.
I feel like it takes too much time baking.
It's Wait, too
precise. Hold on. This it's is so funny that he it. Just said that because I love baking and I studied photography in school.
No, because so cooking is like a Rothko or a Pollock. You just like throw shit on. It's like layers and layers and like, yes?
Can I ask a cue?
We have a hand raise.
So I have never cooked before.
What does that mean?
So I'm actually telling you, this is not me being like, oh, like.
I love how you just cringed, Lo.
Because Lo is
just,
really
her little
about
her
it.
Little cute head just
I
like
actually,
went down like, oh God.
So one time when I was 17, I made chicken, and I have not cooked.
Let's
since.
Unpack that for a second. How did you make chicken? People say that, and
I love
I'm like,
this. Let's unpack this. This is an episode.
It's a Jonathanism. Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's what I'm trying to tell you is I think I need some help because I'm so afraid, like I'm so intimidated, and I think that. Now I'm to the point where I'll buy a bunch of ingredients and something really big. Like I bought a brisket and like all the stuff. And, you know, Lo was like, you're like, that's too, that you've gone too far.
Like
you need
too
to start
advanced.
In the beginning.
It's too, yeah.
Yes.
Start
well,
simple.
Tell him why. Because she was trying to make a brisket for Passover.
Yes,
but she couldn't start cooking
Jew.
The brisket until 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I was like, Jill, you should have done this the day before.
Was this like a 7 a.m. dinner
that
was going on?
It was 12 a.m. It was a 12 a.m. dinner.
It was a 12 a.m. dinner. Yes. Got it.
But even then, at 8 p.m.,
it was
start
time.
That's not enough time.
For 12 a.m.
Oh, God, cutting into a rough brisket? Are there worse things in life?
I don't know. I've never done it. But this is my question. So what would your advice be for someone like me who's like, I do want to learn how to cook and I would like to have like fun with it. Like I don't just want to make like a piece of salmon and like asparagus. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel very intimidated because like when you open cookbooks, it's like 50 ingredients. It's also crazy expensive when you first go to the store to buy everything. And I just feel so overwhelmed that I'm like, I might as well just get takeout.
But it doesn't have to be. I think especially for people who are, I don't promote vegetarianism or veganism too much, but it is a less expensive way to cook.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be if you're getting your veggies at Dean and DeLuca, But it can be very accessible.
Which is
oh God, you buy your vegetables. Listen,
honestly,
I
go wherever's convenient. It's closest. God. It's closest.
I love Dean and DeLuca. It makes me feel happy. There's the a best. Bit of like a skip when I walk.
Whenever Absolutely. I'm depressed, I go in there and I look at the cheese display and I'm like, oh, I'm happy.
Beautiful
again.
Cheese selection, but do not buy your
Agata
produce there.
And Valentina. That's
love I'm Agata and Valentina.
I don't even know what that is.
Their ready-made stuff is really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I know, like their ready-made stuff.
Yeah.
See, so, Julie, we need to get you to the store and we need to buy you 20 basic items that you always keep.
I need that. This is what I need. I need to have someone to like walk me through going to the grocery store. What do you look for when you're buying? Because then you go to the grocery store and the other issue I have, there's 7 different options of salt or like of brown sugar. And you're just like, I don't know. And then I have anxiety.
There are only 2 types of salt that you need to know about. There's Morton's kosher because it's slightly flaky and it's really cheap. And the other one is Malden or any type of equivalent of anything that's more flaky or even like a fleur de sel for
Do you know
for,
what I would buy? Like the pink Himalayan salt. You know what I mean? Just because I would want the color and the vibe.
That's not salty enough for me either. Yeah.
So like I don't know these things.
Gret and I like a lot of salt.
Yeah, I love a lot of salt. I'm like burn my mouth, please.
Segue into sex talk.
Yeah. There's one thing that I want to say to you, Jillie, and I think that you also need to think about this. Maybe now just isn't the time of your life for cooking.
No, sorry. But will be? I'm shutting when that down right now. Look.
When will be? I'm 31.
Salmon or chicken?
Salmon.
Okay.
Because I eat kosher meat only.
Great. So you have something like a salmon fillet. How do you cook your salmon?
I told you. I've literally never cooked before.
Well, there's a sheet pan recipe that's very self-explanatory that's on my Instagram that you can check out. But if you want to make it, like my favorite way is of doing it on a pan. And I love it. Do you like salmon skin?
Yeah.
It's
fucking delicious, right? So you want to put there are a few rules that you have to know. Like you want to use a nonstick pan because it just makes it easier. It's less of a pain in the ass when the skin comes apart. You want to put it on a hot pan. If you put cold salmon on a cold pan, the skin is going to stick and it's probably not going to come off.
One other thing I want to tell you, I don't even own one cooking thing.
Like she doesn't have equipment.
No. So this is what I'm talking about.
She like wants to go skiing, but she only has apartment.
Yeah, you need like a full.
This is what I mean. I need. So where do people like
Are you trying to get Queer Eye to make you over? Because that's kind of like I feel where we're going.
Honestly,
in the Uber on the way here, we were kind of like,
I was like, should we nominate Chili?
But you live next to Dean and DeLuca, so I feel like you kind of have your shit figured out, but you just don't have your kitchen figured out.
I've been very much been focused on business and my career and exercise. And then my social life.
What's your favorite exercise?
I have this trainer that I really like named Akin.
I love Akin. Wednesday Soul Cycle, and now we do privates with him.
You do privates?
Uh-huh.
He won't let me do privates.
I also saw that y'all work out with Pat McGrath.
Yeah, Pat is. Have you seen his legs and his?
Yeah,
he's like,
when I was in New York, he was my favorite SLT teacher.
I was born with a negative ass.
Yeah,
and so
you've been packing it on.
Oh, he's been giving you.
Pat McGrath is amazing, but Akin I think is like the best trainer in New York.
Okay,
so
wait,
I go to all of his
when
classes.
This is off. Text me. We do a Friday. I'm whispering it like no one's listening. Okay. But Fridays we do a little private class, and you guys are gonna come.
Yes,
it's really weird crew.
Okay,
he's the best. So I do all of his exercise classes, and then I work a lot.
He's a tennis player, and he's very heavy cardio. And the good thing about Akin is that the next day your muscles hurt, but it's not like your joints and stuff like that. It's not like CrossFit, which you're going to regret when you're 50 because all your joints are going to be fucked.
Too fucked up for me.
It's so stupid. I'm sorry.
Everyone gets injured in CrossFit.
Yes.
But also, like, you know what I don't want to spend my Saturday morning doing? Pushing a tire.
No.
Like, I really don't.
Right.
Like, it makes me feel stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
No, I
like
want to be listening to Cardi B and getting a hot ass.
Yes.
That's what I want to be doing.
You know
there's
what
nothing
been,
else
And
I
just
want.
Sweating the whole time.
Yeah. The whole time. I want to be like dripping.
Yeah.
I've been doing this class in LA that I really fuck with called Training Mate. And it's run by a bunch of old
Training Mate?
Yes, it's all Australians. It's just a circuit.
Everywhere you go. Like,
oh, Training Mate.
Training Mate.
Oh, got
training
it.
Mate.
Everywhere Greta goes, she finds the Australians.
I find an Aussie bite.
Do you love Aussies?
Why? Because they crack me up and I like to talk like them.
Do you like Vegemite?
Toast?
I would fuck Vegemite.
Vegemite is awesome.
Yeah,
here's
it's
my
delicious.
Main cue back to my cooking thing.
Sorry.
If you, where do you go? Like, where do you go to like try to like dive in so cooking doesn't feel so intimidating? That's really the question I have.
It depends. Sometimes I have a recipe or something specific that I want to make, but I also know that sometimes the ingredients aren't going to be there. So I have a place on Myrtle called Mr. Coco, which is like your cheap Chinese place where avocados are like 50 cents. Why did I just say the one thing that I could have said, and I could have said any vegetable or fruit, and I said avocado?
You have
I'm very sensitive
the guac
to. I know, it's so stupid.
Someone just said, we love his guac.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm sorry because I want you to know that I know you also made an anti-inflammatory chili that episode and it got cut out.
I did.
I know
What's
you
an
told
anti-inflammatory
me that.
Chili.
Well,
no, it's chili that's anti-inflammatory
not
for
using,
your body.
Yeah, not using nightshades. So you use things that are sort of the opposite. So with Tom Jackson, for example, he has lupus, and I'm not a doctor, but I know lupus. That it's an autoimmune thing, and it's tied into like foods that are inflammatory, and it's like an opportunity to fuck around with the inflammatory foods that you're putting into your system, like tobacco, peppers, garlic, aubergine, eggplant, stuff like that. So we sort of eliminated all that from his diet, and we taught him how to make all these things, but was only guacamole fucking made it to the recipe. But I don't have a resentment about it. I'm fine with that.
You guys, I think I need to be made over. Could you submit me?
Yeah, we can nominate you. But the thing is, like,
you're not too chic. But it's like a Sunday, and you're wearing like
Like,
whoa.
Well, there was a queer guy on there.
Just all I'm gonna say is that we are a very inclusive show, and shit's just gonna get more inclusive.
Wait, so you'll do a girl?
That's all I'm saying. I'm not allowed to say anything.
Oh, all right. There'll be ladies on next.
Here's the thing.
Season.
I don't need like an update.
I want
my
an update.
Style,
No, you definitely
don't. I'm
very
confident there.
Yeah.
But I do need an update in like how to take care of a home and how to cook. And I have a man in my life.
Oh my God.
Moment,
so you have a reason to do
and
it.
And I want to be able to like, does. I want to be able to like provide
he cooks.
Womanly
does
things
he work,
for a
does
man.
Does he work a job like you where you guys have similar schedules?
No.
He works a job like me.
Are you intimidated? Are you intimidated by grocery stores in general?
Yeah.
So why doesn't he do the groceries? You can have him do it, and then you just prepare it when he comes home, and I'll prepare it with you. Pinky promise I will come over,
oh
and I will teach you how to
make
two to
three
like
go-tos.
Okay,
pinky,
I'm really excited
pinky's
about this.
Just linked.
Okay. Really excited
can I just say, though, Julie, like, you keep saying, like, you're afraid, you're intimidated, but, like, all you have to do is try it once, and it's okay if you mess up. It doesn't
matter. Do you know how many roast chickens I completely demolished? Where they were like, raw in the center, where they were overcooked until I finally figured out the perfect temperature and weight.
Yeah.
And letting meat rest and let it rest. Let it rest after you cook it so the juices stay in. And also let it rest after you take it out of the fridge because it's so hard and tight and cold that if you cook it, it makes it tougher.
I also need like a timeline. Like, you know, you put things in the oven, then when do you like shower and like make yourself hot and then you have to like clean
sheet
the house?
Pan. You throw a bunch of shit on a pan, you put it in the oven or you roast or you braise. It takes time, but that's trial and error. You're not going to figure it out your first time.
Let me tell you the story really quickly before we have to go to a little commercial breaky.
Okay.
One time I was dating this guy and I wanted to cook for him. And I cooked for him at like his apartment and I thought I was being real cute. Uh-huh. And he was a dick, number one. But I was like, I don't know what protein I made him. I think I made like salmon or something like that, which is like cooking fish in like some guy's small apartment in New York is like probably not what they wanted, but I didn't really give a fuck. And then I also was making couscous.
And that's a nice combo.
I was
making apricots in there. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a little dried fruit situation. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like beautiful. Everything was like done. I thought it was great. And I put it all on the plate. And the couscous was completely not cooked, like at all.
But it takes like
5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. How I fucked it up. Hold on.
So did you take it raw and just pour it on the plate?
Basically, I think. I don't know what happened, but
no
it was
judgment
all fucked
over here.
Up. The salmon was like terrible. It was like the worst meal ever. And I'm not kidding you. He broke up with me because of it.
Whoa. Well, any man that's going to break up with you over a meal is that's not
the
reason.
I mean, we did get back together like the next day.
I got my boyfriend full food poisoning after muscles when we were in Watch Hill once. But he was also day drinking. He was a little dehydrated that day. I know.
That's the muscle's fault. That's not your fault.
I threw out all the ones that weren't that didn't open because you never want to keep those.
You never want to keep those unopened muscles.
We all make mistakes. I get food poisoning at least twice a year because I eat a bunch of weird shit.
I got food poisoning a year and a half ago, and I was staying at my parents' house when it happened, and I was like on the floor, like take me to the hospital. And my mom's like, just drink a Gatorade, and I was like, I'm dying.
Best,
like I literally
best remedy
was
for that
dying.
From Dr. Perowski, aka my father. Take a bottle of ginger ale, pour it out, mix it up to get all the gas bubbles out because ginger is really good for you apparently. And then you take the warm 2-liter bottle of soda, fill it up with warm water, and just hold it against your belly to keep it warm. And it just relaxes it. It makes you feel like you're carrying a baby.
Nice. Okay, we're going to take a little break, Ski, and we'll be right back.
Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Brooklinen. I am a huge fan of Brooklinen, you guys. I think I have 4 or 5 sets of their sheets and duvet covers and pillowcases. And
when anybody gets in my bed, they always say, this is the most comfortable bed I have ever been in. I absolutely love it. Where did you get everything that is on this bed? And I'm so happy always to tell them that my bedding is from Brooklinen. And did you guys know that you spend a third of your life in your sheets? They really do make a difference with how you sleep. So if you want to start sleeping better, you got to get the best sheets. And they are from Brooklinen. You guys, the colors, the patterns, everything is so, so chic. And they were actually named the best of online bedding winner by Good Housekeeping. So you guys know that they're going to be awesome. So basically, Brooklinen is luxury bedding that is underpriced. You have to try these sheets. I sleep in them every night and I am obsessed. So you guys get an exclusive offer today. If you want $20 off and free shipping, just use that promo code LOVIN, LOVIN at brooklinen.com. They're so confident you'll love their sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. So get that $20 off and your free shipping using promo code LOVIN at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code LOVIN.
And we are back.
Anthony's here.
Those were really good commercial breaks.
They were great.
They were very good. They were really inspiring. Yeah. They were entertaining. They were funny.
They were great. It took us
through everything.
It did. So I think that, like, naturally my favorite topic on the show is sex. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah. We talk about our love lives on here pretty openly, Anthony. Mm. You know, just from, like, who we're dating to the boning itself and also all the emotions in between. So
let's do it. It's a Sunday morning-ish after all. And what better time or place?
Right.
Than right now.
Than right here. Right
like we're
now,
having a LaCroix brunch.
So should we go around the circle and say what's like popping
in our love
lives?
Yeah, we just need our updates.
Okay.
Anthony, should we start with you?
No, yeah. I want to start with you guys because I want a precedent.
Okay, fine. Okay. You can go last because we're probably going to like dive into your shit more deeply. Uh-huh.
That's true.
Okay. So let's start with Jilly.
Oh, really? Why do we always have to start with me?
We don't.
Jilly, we don't, but we're going to.
I don't really. I mean, you guys know what's happening.
You're getting the D consistently.
Yeah. I have a man in my life.
And you love him. I mean, him. You love him.
I really like him. I don't. I think I'll leave
Wait,
it
how
that.
Long have you been together?
It's Three been months.
It's fresh. It's
been, yeah.
It's freshy. Fresh-ish.
It's like certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. It is. It's like 100%.
But the real deal.
I really like him.
Yeah,
he's
that's great. That's
y'all like sleep in the same bed like a lot.
Well, you know, it's
you don't
nice.
Live together.
No. Mm. It's been 3 months.
Oh.
I mean,
I've always typically moved in with whoever I was dating after like a week. Oh, so I'm like the other extreme of crazy.
Yeah, I haven't dated anyone. Like I had people that I've dated, but I haven't like consistently. I don't know. This feels like much sort of. I haven't had something like this in like 7 years. So it's like very like.
I've never dated.
What do you mean you've never dated?
You've just gone from into a
relationship.
Honestly,
either I was a fucking monk or I was in a committed long relationship. Never in between.
But you, before your boyfriend, how long have you been with your boyfriend?
7 years.
Who, by the way, I love him
so much.
He loves you so much.
I love him. He's
almost getting over like his intimidation of you.
Why is he intimidated by me?
Because you have this like funny
you're
star
a strong,
power.
And
you're just,
woman.
Yeah, especially when your sister's around and you just like,
and I just, like
say things about
sister.
Her and talk about her white turtleneck. He brings up that white turtleneck all the time.
Look at how hot Anthony's boyfriend is.
Oh my God.
Wait, I want to see.
Oh,
yeah, he's an Ohio boy.
I would be
boy.
Intimidated
Cute.
By you two walking down the street. I'd be like, I gotta go the other way.
But wait, before you dated your mans, you were dating women.
Yeah, it's been a lot of back and forth for me.
That's cool.
So I was, I guess, yeah, let's get into it. So I lost my virginity. I was 16 and she was 36.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That is so high.
Is she in prison?
No. Here's the weird thing, though.
How did you meet?
We met at a bar, and it was at a restaurant that
doesn't exist
anymore. In West Virginia? No, not in West Virginia.
In Montreal?
It was my cousin. It was in Montreal at a like a club restaurant called Globe, and Johnny Depp was rapping some kind of a film that he was doing.
Ooh, Globe.
And I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna say her name, but basically,
is this like a famous actress woman?
No, it happened.
Is it a famous actress woman?
It is. Like, that's why he doesn't want to say anything.
The story was actually traumatic because it happened so quickly.
And did you feel taken advantage of?
And you were a child.
I was. It happened in like a minute and a half, and then I was done. I was like trashed on Calvados, pretty much. I mean, it probably took me like 3 or 4 minutes. I just sat there, and she took control.
She like got on top of you.
Yes. And I had this necklace that was like a little leather necklace with this silver bean that my sister got me in Turkey.
Tiffany's?
No, it wasn't the Elsa Peretti bean, but I know what you're talking about. My other sister has that one. No, it was a silver bean from Turkey. And then I woke up in the morning, and because I took the bean off because it was, you know, in the way. And then as I'm leaving the next morning,
of course
I walk,
the bean is in the way.
I look and then I see a photo of her in a wedding dress. And I'm like, oh. And it was like a really beautiful apartment, but no sign that a man had been living there. And as I'm closing the door, I'm like ready to tell her like, I love you. And she just like, have a good life, and closes the door. And so this is like, I thought I was in love. I had to be with her. So I went to my retail job at the time that my sister managed at a store called Mosquito, where we sold $300 jeans that were on the floor and we smoked cigarettes inside.
It's called Mosquito?
It was called Mosquito, yeah.
Wait.
Cool. And the lights were always really dark, and there were skinny mirrors so that the girls would feel really good about themselves.
You could smoke cigarettes in the store?
We smoked cigarettes inside the store. It was like a total... It was the first store in Montreal that sold like $200 jeans, and they had like Miss 60
like
and
True
Diesel.
Religion.
I have been with
the,
60,
yeah,
and
the Miss 60 moment. Denim and all of those.
I loved Miss 60.
So the girl who was working there, Katarina, like sort of consoled me, and she's like, I don't think it's love. I think you just lost your virginity. And the thing is, I didn't wear a condom. So I thought, oh my God, she wanted to have a baby. And so for years.
This is a very traumatic.
Yes. Yeah, so for years,
story.
I walked around Montreal waiting to bump into her. And I thought she was going to have a carriage with a little kid in it wearing
with
my necklace.
Bean.
Oh, my God.
As it turns out, definitely did not get pregnant. Yeah.
Whoa.
Fantasy / paranoia fear.
Is she still around?
She never got pregnant. She's totally around and she's fine and she's happy, apparently.
Okay.
Did you see her or speak to
no,
her?
No, never saw her. Never saw her since.
That's so crazy.
So that happened. And then I had...
maybe she's a lady loving listener.
Maybe.
Maybe.
She could be.
Oh, I'm not going to say her name. So I dated girls closer to my age after that for a while.
How much closer? Were you always into older women? Or
yes.
Are you still into older women?
I was. Honestly, every relationship that I've been in was sort of... Like, she was the perfect person to lose my virginity to because she knew what she was doing.
Right.
It was very, like, no strings attached. She didn't even let me get into like emotionally.
I'm sorry,
attached.
As a 36, if I were a 36 year old woman, I could never conceive fucking a 16 year old.
She probably didn't know that I was 16.
I mean,
I had really long hair.
I can't even think about having like sleeping with someone that's like 25.
She definitely did not ask
like,
me my age.
You know
age.
What I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure she thought that you were young, but I'm sure she didn't think you were that young. Also, you're like so hot. So I probably would just like throw caution to the wind at that point.
And in Montreal, it's also different because you drink at 18. So when you're like 14, 15, you go out. It's a very different culture.
Like, I feel like
Call Me By Your Name
like,
is much more accepted there than it is here.
I feel like you probably looked like a member of like Twilight cast. When
no,
you were
I had
younger.
Very long hair and the dark circles in my eyes were even darker because I was indulging in a lot of drugs in my youth. I was I looked older than I look now. Like a vampire.
Like a hot vampire.
An unhealthy vampire. Vampire.
That's hot.
You're making it cute and I'm making it like
you
darker.
Know, but like
you could have been Robert Pattinson.
Our Pats,
but
baby.
With very long, greasy hair.
Yeah.
Which like is like honestly horny. That's like hornier than like Robert Pattinson with long, greasy hair would have been hotter in Twilight, honestly.
I thought he was pretty hot.
Me too. Remember that part of Twilight when he like tosses Kristen Stewart on his back and he's like, get on my back, spider monkey. He calls her spider monkey.
I don't remember that part.
Is that when they go flying around the forest?
Yeah, and I think it's such a crazy thing. He's like, hop on my back, spider monkey. And then he like flings into the trees with her strapped onto his back.
Do I need to watch Twilight? I've never seen it.
Yes.
Maybe.
I saw the first two.
It's
too
really
fantasy for me. Fantasy and sci-fi doesn't do it.
So wait, then you were dating more women.
Yeah, so I dated more women.
Okay.
And then I met the first guy that I dated. And we dated for about a year.
How did that happen? You were just like all of a sudden like, I'm attracted to this human?
I've always known that it was possible that I was going to eventually hook up with a guy or be in a relationship with one. But it wasn't something that I pushed or really had to like actively
pursue.
I just sort of like waited for it to happen. Like if I showed you a lineup of every person I've been with, no two people look alike. Everyone is completely different. I was in a relationship with another woman who's like really important and is still one of my best friends today, who is significantly older than me.
What's significant?
I was in my early 20s and she was like 40s.
Okay. Yeah.
Like you like a 20-year age difference.
You like a 20-year age difference with your women, which I think is
hot.
No, this is like turning me on, honestly.
But again, and that was someone who was like a very important part of my life at the time because I was dealing with a lot of like personal demons, and she sort of like taught me to take care of myself. She taught me to cook for myself, taught me about like the virtues of staying in and hosting a dinner party and like not going out and disappearing for 3 days on benders. So, and then in my first gay relationship, it's really where I sort of discovered my body. Like I swam my whole life, but sort of vanity kicked in. And sort of like what another guy looked like. And it was, so it's like every relationship came exactly when it was supposed to. And it sort of like lived its course. And then after my relationship with him, it sort of like messed up my identity as like a gay man. And I didn't really like, I didn't know who the hell I was. And then I just went back, actually fell for a girl and I dated her for about a year and a half after that.
So there's something so interesting you said about like the relationship where you discover your body. I feel like a lot of people like don't, or I feel like a lot of women like don't really have that till they're older. And I feel like that's like such an interesting line.
Yeah.
I haven't heard someone say that, but it really makes a lot of sense.
Like I come from a very liberal household. Like my parents, you know, we would go, like kids would go to Disneyland when they were young, and we would go to the Caribbean to like topless beaches where like Europeans go.
Yeah.
So it's like where people are a little more like sexually liberated, I'd say, and comfortable, like the way the French are. But I've always been a little more prudish, I think. So my first relationship with a guy, to actually see like a naked man in front of me, was just sort of, there's something comparative, and also sort of like it takes away the shame of it.
Yeah.
Where you don't walk around fully clothed in turtlenecks all the time. It's weird that I just thought about your sister, but there that is. But it's, you know, and it just got me, it really helped me be comfortable with my body. And I think even... since this show is about sex, with my future relationships with women, I was able to be a lot more comfortable with myself, and then to like sexually show up for the woman as well, because I wasn't so fucking self-conscious and thinking about what I look like.
Right.
So
I think it's interesting, you know, being sleeping with like men and women, and like in my experiences sleeping with women, and the identity that we now associate with like people that are bi or like queer, and like using these terms as ways of identifying ourselves. But I still think that it's very hard for people to understand bisexual people.
Right.
I think that it's much easier for people to accept this like super clear line. Like, you know, people are like, you're gay or you're straight. And I think that being bi and like being, or just like being queer, as I think it, I view queer as more of like an
that's what I'm actually learning broader, what that word means now. And I think that's what it is. It's just sort of like, it's less constraints and just more like openness to whatever it is. Cause it's, cause they are two completely different things.
Openness like, to openness.
Well, yeah. I've always felt weird.
Yeah.
Or I've always felt self-conscious being like, I don't know why, but calling myself bisexual is just something that I never...
I don't like that word.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's
know.
A me thing. I don't judge anybody who refers to themselves that way.
No.
But it's just, for me, it's just... And for some reason, it just seems like limiting. Not that I'm into dogs or horses, but it's like, it's just, there's
and
something that's
like... And
it's
funny because like, it's like not supposed to be limiting.
Right.
It's
no,
like
it's actually
the one
supposed
thing
to have
that's supposed to be broader.
Exactly.
But it's still a classification. I think that's the whole thing is like, I feel like, you know, it's so much easier for people to understand things that they're not personally experiencing if they can put it in a category. So I feel like by giving that a name, it's like, okay, you're in this category of person. And I feel like that's the issue that a lot of people have, is like, I don't want to be in one specific category.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's what the issue that people have with people calling themselves bisexual as well, because there are so many people that are like, nice, being bisexual isn't real. But
there's something limiting to, I won't go as extreme as to say, like, you know, to quote Gore Vidal and say that there are only gay acts, that there aren't gay relationships, but I think I'm somewhere in between there and sort of the identification of actually having a title, where it's really, for me, it's really, and I know it sounds trite, but it's like, it's really about the person that I'm with at that given point. And every single one of my relationships is really like, oh yeah, it totally made sense at the time, whether it was destructive or not.
I feel that. I feel like you can fall in love with like a human and it doesn't need to have anything with it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you could connect with one person so much and you're just like, okay, I love you. And like, this is, we have this, you know? And then it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman or what the deal is.
I agree with that. I think that I'm open to like fall in love with whoever the person is. I just want to fall in love with people.
I think that's what the future is.
I just want to fall in love with Jews, you know.
I have such Jewish envy. Have we discussed this?
No, but I want to hear about it.
Well, you like my Jewish boyfriend.
Oh, I have Jewish and Italian envy. And if I meet an Italian Jew, I just freak out.
You know, that's like what I am.
I know. I'm aware. We've had this talk. It was late at night, but we've had it.
We've had the talk.
Because I'm Catholic background, but I'm also Polish. And we have names in my family like Leskowitz and Berman. So I'm definitely a little Jew-ish.
Have you done 23andMe?
No, I have to do it.
You should You'll find out.
I have to read about that and love language. I have to learn about those.
Okay, love languages are my favorite thing in the world.
Love the love language.
Love the love language.
They really make a lot of sense. I actually made
the guy that I'm dating do the test.
What were his results?
Words of affirmation. There's
gifts.
Physical touch and words of affirmation.
And acts of service. Jonathan, my castmate, told me that I'm all about service.
Yeah. His service. Zero was gifts. And I love giving gifts.
Me too.
I don't like receiving them, I guess, but I love giving them.
But it's not even about like a physical thing. It can be as simple as like leaving a love note on the counter.
I write.
You know what I mean? That's what it means by gifts. It doesn't have to be like something that's monetary.
Here's a rose on the ground.
It can be making dinner for somebody. Like that's a gift, or that's an act of service.
Yeah. I'm very service.
I think that's both. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I write Abe a bunch of notes.
That's very cute.
Wait, what's going on with Abe and you? Oh, are we saying his name on the podcast?
We're saying it now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we're going around the circle.
Yeah, this is a safe space. What's going on with me and Abe? Well, you guys, I officially moved out of my apartment in New York City.
Oh. Slow, that sounded so sad. I meant it to be very authentic, but I was like, don't clap loudly,
Greta,
on the podcast.
Can I just say, Greta and I are here in New York this weekend and we're having major fucking FOMO. Yeah. We're like, oh God, did we make a huge mistake moving to LA?
I have an idea.
Because I just moved to LA in January and she just moved. And we've both been here for years and years. And so we're like, we're freaking out and we're like, do we need to get an apartment here again?
Yeah.
Do we need to be bi-coastal? Oh my God.
These are all questions that I'm saying yes to.
I know.
We're bi-coastal.
We're bi-coastal.
We've answered them.
We're already saying that I'm bi-coastal. We're bi-coastal.
Okay, we're bi-coastal.
Yeah, we're bi-coastal.
It's much cuter.
Yeah, I'm bi-coastal, babe. Yeah. You know
that's
what I mean?
A bi that you want to classify.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely
that
one
bi
you're
life. That's a bi that you want to classify.
You like that
that's
joke?
Like a, yeah. That's like a...
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, so Lo and I are officially bi-coastal,
yep.
Which is cool. And you know what? Here's the thing. This is what I'm trying to say to myself. Mm-hmm. That apartment I've had since my mom died, and it carries a lot of emotional weight for both my sister and I. And I keep on reminding myself that even if I stayed in New York, I am in New York, okay? Like in my spiritual land, I'm always in New York. But I would have one day had to have packed up my whole place and moved. Mm-hmm. So like regardless of whether or not I was here and moving up the block or no matter what, I would have had to have done that one day.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that does feel this kind of weight lifted that I've gone through the process of like, you know, taking the things that are important to me. I got rid of so much shit. Oh my God.
Well, you had also a lot of your parents' stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of
your mom's stuff.
That's a lot of, you know,
you kept
reminder
that
and memory, and which is not a bad thing, but that is like a lot to hold
sentiment
on to.
Sentiment is sediment. Yeah.
And I think, yes, I think that I'm really looking forward to building my own home. Like I've never really been able to do that. It's always been like my home based around this furniture of my parents and like dishes of my mom's and spoons of my dad's.
It's all family history, but none of it is you.
But none of it's mine. Yeah. And like,
did you keep some stuff?
Yes. Oh, I kept a lot of stuff, but it's like, I'm looking forward to the first time in my life where I can be like, oh, I want to go and buy this chair and put it in my house. And I want to like,
and you're doing that with a guy.
Yeah, and I'm doing that with Abe.
But it's all happened. Like, everything happens when it's supposed to, I think. And like with your relationship in LA, like it all seems like it's happening as it, you know, it just it makes sense.
And I'm
you didn't push it.
No, it happened like supernaturally, and I'm really excited to like do this with him. I wouldn't want to do it with. I've never wanted to do that with anyone before. I've never wanted to truly like start a life with someone. It's always been someone entering my life.
Isn't that nice?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's like the best feeling in the world. So I'm really excited about that. And he was here in New York last weekend, and I was telling Lo and Jilly that I like forced him to have anal with me on Friday night.
You
when
forced
I was
him?
Fucked up.
He was like, no, I don't want that.
No, I was lube. Just like, I was literally just like, fuck me in the ass. And he was just like, okay. And I didn't, I woke
I,
up
like,
the next.
I'm so curious about this. Like,
I'll
where,
tell, you.
Tell me about like where you were.
I'll tell you the whole
like,
story.
Like, were you at some like Russian restaurant?
We're at a bar. Just,
like, no, so here's what happened.
Like drinking vodka.
We're at Veselka.
We were at
the potato pancakes.
The mood was right really with the floral prints everywhere.
It was.
I was just feeling frisky. Flowers do that. They're flavored vodkas.
I went out to dinner with Alex and a bunch of our guy friends, mm-hmm. and he was at a separate dinner. And at this place, I was drinking like so much wine. And then I went to this other bar where I proceeded to drink more wine. Mm-hmm. And then Abe met up with me and two of my friends, and we went to Public where we met up with Carlos, and he gave us a bottle of champagne where I was just like drinking it to my face. And I was also drinking
champagne
red wine
that.
At the club.
Were you wearing silk?
Was I wearing silk?
Does that matter?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to imagine.
Oh, paint
like,
a picture. Sure,
her
sure.
Bottling the champagne and like
I'm
a silk nightie.
I'm trying to think what I wore.
Like,
oh,
that's
wait,
what
you
I
know
feel
what?
Like.
Red wine made
wearing,
you horny?
Yeah, red wine.
Red wine makes...
No, did it make me horny? No, it made me fucked up. Like, I was just wasted.
It was just a mix of everything.
Yeah, so it was... And it was a mix of like, I was back in New York. I was out. I was with my friends. I had just gotten off a red eye. Like, I was just like here. I was like, I'm in New York City.
I've arrived.
Yeah. I was like, this is my life. Like, what? And I was just like on one, and I was ready to be on one. I met up with Alex, and we like split a bottle of wine, and we drank it in maybe like 10 minutes. And I was just like, I'm here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm here. I'm queer. Get used to it.
The mood was right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
The mood was right. So we go back to my house, and I don't really remember this part, but what I do know is I was on my period, and I woke up the next I woke up the next morning, and I was like feeling kind of, I was like, looked at Abe and I was like, did we have sex last night? And he was just like, oh boy. And I was like, what? And he was like, you don't remember? And I was like, I mean, like, I'm like, what is there to remember? And he was like, we had anal last night. And I was like, what?
Had you ever had it before with him?
No, I haven't had anal sex since I was like 19, thinking I was like the hottest.
So this was like a moment in your relationship that you missed.
Yeah, honestly, it's fucked up, but yes.
She did. So,
you don't remember it?
Okay, I remember two things, and I'll tell you the two things that I do remember. I like do...
Paint the picture.
So I guess we were
You wearing silk at this point?
No, so he told
really
me...
really onto
like,
the silk. Were the sheets silk? Something. Give me something.
Give me something.
Was his cum rag silk?
Ew. So he's like, was on top of me, I guess, and we were having like normal sex. And then I guess I tried to like jam his dick in my ass, like missionary style, which is like, you know, naturally.
But that doesn't sound like an ask. It sounds like you just went for it.
Yeah, I think I did just go for it, you know, but I do remember like going into like doggy, being like, thinking I was really hot, being like, stick it in my ass. And then being like, what? I'd remember doing that, you know? I do remember that. And I remember it like entering my body, you know. You know, I think that that's important.
That's sensation. My God.
But I woke up and I was like, I felt my vagina, and I was like, oh, I don't have a tampon in. And I looked, and the tampon's just like across my room on the floor.
You always do that.
I know.
Wait,
you just toss it.
Yeah, I love to. I'm like, I like pull it out, and I'm like, wow. and then I just toss it across the room.
You hold it by the string, yeah, give it a little whirl, and yeah, then it just goes.
Did you have to like hire someone to clean your apartment the next day? Like, what happened? It sounds like you destroyed this room.
I mean, I did destroy my sheets.
Or you just had to clean your own apartment. I didn't mean that. Sounds like a war zone.
No, but here's the thing. Then I felt like my little pubic hairs, and okay, there was like stuff in them, and I like pulled out these.
This is like getting way too graphic for me.
Sorry, I'm fine with it.
I was gonna ask you a really detailed question.
Go for it.
When you're on your period, is it more you don't want to have sex with him or he doesn't want it?
Oh, he'll have sex with me whenever, wherever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But
he doesn't care.
If I'm full bleeding,
that never bothered me.
No, if I'm like fully bleeding though, I don't want to deal with it.
Right.
I don't like, unless I'm like in the shower or something. I know a lot of girls
shower sex is very hot.
It is, but it's hard. It's hard for me at least. I mean, now in my new shower, we have a little fuck bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like a little bench that goes up. Wait, but is it stone? Because that's cold on your butt.
It's stone, but you
want it to be wood.
Do you think when you bought that bench, you're like, "Hi, we're looking for a shower fuck bench"?
I think
we need it to be the perfect height. Can it be adjustable?
I think that's just the point of them.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Because
why else would you do that unless you're giving yourself a pedicure?
Like, where do you keep your shower fuck benches?
Yeah.
What aisle?
Yeah, hi, I'm looking for the perfect shower fuck bench.
My favorite moment of all of today and maybe this week will be like the learning of a fuck bench.
Yeah.
I'm forever changed and better because of it.
Maybe we'll call this episode Fuck Bench.
Fuck Bench is really good.
So whatever. Then, you know, whatever. Then I had that experience with Abe and now we're closer and he said it was great and that's all that matters. I didn't shit on him. So
good.
It's always a positive night. It's always a positive night when you don't shit on someone.
I'm sorry, but like, play with the bull, you might get the horns.
Especially when you're that fucked up.
Yeah,
like,
I could have had a loose. I already have like a leaky ass. You know what I mean? It could have really.
We
like
don't, Alestra, we like do Alestra. Not know what that means.
Remember the warning on Alestra chips
way
back when?
Yes.
Zero fat may cause anal leakage.
Yes, those little candies. Have you guys ever read the reviews for the sugar-free gummy bears on Amazon?
It is the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
My buddy's friend does. She has the most beautiful British accent, and she like reads Amazon reviews of what happens to people's buttholes and their insides when they eat these sugar-free candies and the explosive diarrhea that ensues. It's amazing.
You guys, I think that we've unfortunately reached the end of our episode. Not because we want to stop, but because we're getting kicked out.
Yeah.
Does this mean I'll have to come back?
Yeah, you need to come back. You are definitely going to come back. But really quickly, I just want to read you a few sentences from a very famous sugar-free gummy bear review.
I love a bit of prose.
I would like you to read it.
Verified. Eat If You Dare by Joshua on February 1st, 2015.
Ooh.
I sit here writing this review at 4 a.m. from my porcelain throne. A fixture you will become all too familiar with if you choose to eat these cute little bears from the pits of hell. I had to eat a pound of these little bastards after Man City must have thought they were playing American football the other week and lost to a team of Arsenal scrubs. They were a little bit chewy, but overall appeared to be nothing more than your average gummy bears. About 2 hours, with little more than some mild stomach cramps, feeling like one would expect from eating a pound of any candy, I began to wonder if I'd gotten some duds. Like the slow buildup of a Martin Scorsese film, however, those bears were waiting from the baptism scene to destroy my insides. It started with the cramping, very akin to doing 1,000 crunches and then being forced to hold the 1,001st crunch indefinitely. Then came the initial, quote-unquote, run, which opened the proverbial floodgates. I'm over 30, and I'm beginning to wonder if these bears know that and want to send me back to the can for each year I've been on this earth to make me wonder why I'd ever been born. In between gastrointestinal bouts of pressure, washing the inside of my toilet from my anus, I lay in bed feeling as if someone were to punch me in the stomach. I'd explode, turning the walls of my bedroom into a soiled Jackson Pollock rendition. To give you an idea, I'd spent $50 ordering a UFC pay-per-view only to willingly miss the last 2 to 3 fights on the main card because I didn't want to stray too far from my master bathroom. Thankfully for me and my marriage, we're almost done here, I promise, fearing what might be coming, I convinced my wife to spend the evening at my sister-in-law's because, trust me, fellas, nothing will be gained from your significant other experiencing this with you. I'm no longer in pain, but I'm still having to make trips back to my master bath on a regular basis.
Oh my God.
Eat these if you dare, but be forewarned. They are not to be trifled with unless you want your toilet to be a staging ground for the repeat fecal rehearsals of the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones.
Yay! Wait, you guys, our lady loving this week?
Who's our lady Anthony?
Loving? It's Anthony.
It's Anthony. It's Anthony.
I'm the lady loving.
Yeah, the lady loving. Yeah, I would just like to say we have never,
chosen a man.
To be our lady lovin',
because it's always really? Woman. Because lady lovin' is for lovin'
you
ladies.
Know what? It's on brand for with fluidity and yes. sort of. It's very Orlando, Virginia Woolf. Read
yes.
it.
Agree.
Yeah.
Anthony is our lady lovin'.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
Subscribe.
Guys.
Subscribe.
Tune in every Monday.
Comment, like, subscribe. Watch Queer Eye if you haven't. Follow Anthony's on Instagram.
You'll get hot food pics and hot pics.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, what is your Instagram? Is it Anthony?
A-N-T-O-N-I. It's like Madonna, but it's Anthony.
I love it.
Or Beyonce.
All right, guys. Catch you next week.
Bye.
Ciao.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.